This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
Some new research out says that 3 in 4 of us rarely or never floss, and only 1 in 5 brush their teeth once per day. Well, it's Dental Health Week, so today we're going to chat with dental surgeon Dr. Andrew Geekus to find out how to best look after our dental health. Andrew, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks, Warren. Thanks for having us online. And thanks for hitting those key points about brushing and flossing already.
Well, I know that you're going to tell us to do it. I know my dentist does all the time, but that's pretty poor, isn't it? Not that many people not brushing at least twice per day. Why is it? Is it just because we're too busy or we're lazy? What's the reason that the clients give you?
Yeah, really good question. Look, the Australian Dental Association does surveys like this regularly, and this one's actually improved on previous times. So it's good to see more people are brushing twice a day. 1 in 5 are only brushing once a day, which is really not enough. And as you said earlier, 3 in 4 never or rarely floss. Why don't they brush regularly? Well, I think our survey showed us that many actually don't need to, or they don't think they don't need to, or they don't want to. That's about 40%. Some of them feel like they're getting pain when they're brushing, so that's a serious issue. If you can't brush your teeth properly without discomfort, you better find out what's going on. Some actually believe it's not good for you to brush more than once, which is interesting, but I suppose if you go pretty hard on your teeth, maybe it's not so great if you're scrubbing with a really hard toothbrush. And look, many people, about 8%, forget, or they're just too busy. So they're the four main reasons why people don't brush more than once, more than twice a day or once a day.
Dr. Geekus, yesterday, and I don't want to compare our health to a dog's health, but I was at my vet, and my vet said something really interesting to me. He said, Warren, he said, look, keep your dog's teeth in good order because it prevents so many other health problems down the track. Is it the same for us as well? If we have poor dental health, can it lead to other complications throughout the rest of our body?
Absolutely. Evidence over the last couple of years is growing significantly in the science literature. And what we're finding is that people that have advanced gum disease or advanced periodontal disease are at higher risk of heart attacks. That's clear evidence that's coming out now. And then we also know there's links between low birth weights, premature babies, strokes, dementia, kidney disease, type 2 diabetes and rheumatoid arthritis. All of these conditions seem to have a link to poor oral health. So the message that we're trying to get out there for Dental Health Week and the Australian Dental Association is basically get your oral health up to scratch and hopefully you can avoid some of these ongoing problems that can occur.
Andrew, what are some of the things you mentioned, you know, gum disease, for example? How do we know? What are the first signs that we should look out for so we know, you know what, something's not right, we need to go see our dentist and get on top of this?
Well, that's why we're encouraging people to floss, because when you floss, you're not supposed to have bleeding gums. Now, if you're flossing for the first time, you've got a lot of inflammation there and a lot of plaque and food that's been sitting around for a while. So the moment you start flossing, you're going to get a bit of bleeding, okay? If you keep going and you do it daily, eventually after a few days or a week, there's no more bleeding. So that's a sign of really good gum health. So if you can get to that point, I think that's pretty good. Now, if you find that your gums are ongoing bleeding, you know, even after you've flossed for a week and they're still bleeding regularly, or, you know, there's puffy gums or there's discharge coming out of them or the teeth are starting to get a bit mobile, that's starting to get quite serious. Gum disease is difficult to pick for the average person when they're looking at it. You can see really bad red bleeding gums, but quite often you can't pick gum disease unless you get in there and measure it with a special probe that a dentist will use to see how deep the bacteria has gone into your gum line. So, you know, there's some tips there for people to start flossing and see what comes out and have a good checkup to make sure that everything's under control.
We're chatting with Dr. Andrew Geekus, a dental surgeon, about the best dental habits to develop this Dental Health Week. Andrew, just on the flossing, what about those water picks? Are they any good? Are they effective?
Yeah, look, there's all sorts of stuff out there. Floss tape is the most common thing that you can get from the supermarket or the chemist. Little interdental brushes, which you can push in between your teeth, are good for people that have got larger gaps, and they're really good for removing plaque. Water flosses, look, anything that removes or dislodges plaque is going to do something for you. It's probably better to floss because it's mechanical and a little bit better to sort of scrub the side of the tooth with. But look, water floss is better than not doing anything. And there are, of course, disposable floss sets and little handle things that can make it a bit easier for people that might have dexterity problems, because flossing can be a bit of a challenge for some people. And look, as a dentist, dentist guide normally get patients to sit in a chair, grab a piece of floss and teach them how to do it and figure out which method is best suited for their individual teeth and for their individual sort of dexterity.
Andrew, if someone's listening and they're thinking, oh, look, it all sounds really good, but I'm so scared of going to the dentist, it's been so painful, what are some of the options that you have available for them?
Yeah, that's challenging when people have fear of the dentist. And, you know, I remember growing up in the 70s and I certainly had a fear of the dentist when I grew up. So why did I become a dentist?
And you became one.
Pretty strange down that end. But I think things have certainly changed. So if people are thinking about what used to happen, it's not really the same as it was many years ago. Technology's advanced a lot. Anesthetics are good. You know, there's medications people could take beforehand to relax them if they like. They can be put to sleep if they need to. They can have hypnotherapy. They can just find a warm, comfortable dentist who appreciates them and spend some time talking to them. So there's various ways to do it. I think it's about finding the right clinician that's going to fit into the individual and being comfortable with them at the end of the day, because it is challenging to sit in a dental chair and open your mouth and wait for somebody to do work on you. I appreciate that as well.
Andrew, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you. That is Dr. Andrew Geekus.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.